Welcome, everybody, to the City Brew Tours Beer Club, CBTBC, and welcome. You know, we're here for another month, another great city, some great beer, and I'm not doing it alone, as always. I have faithful friend. Wait, did I get... I don't know why I point on the live stream because the podcast can't hear.
Yeah, you're on my left. I'm on the right here. But yeah, everyone out there in the Zoom world has their own version of it. And the people listening to the audio thing was like, just get on with it.
We just want beer. Why are you even talking? Glenn, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Jonathan. Last week it started to feel like midsummer. So it was nice to here in New York City. We're getting something a little more spring-like, which is okay. I don't want it to be bitter cold, but I can live with this.
And then this week is now chilly again. So ish. It's like early spring now. Now it feels like early spring.
It feels like early spring. Last week it felt like almost summer, which seemed a little strange for St. Patrick's Day. So
yeah. Did you drink a stout for St. Patrick's Day? I don't know why I'm asking you this, because you're 95% of the time drinking stouts.
Right. So for that reason, I don't always remember to on St. Patrick's Day. I think I actually drank a brown beer. I happen to have some Brooklyn Brown lying around and very much enjoyed that one. So that's what I did. I should have just drank it out of my... I do have a nice Imperial Guinness pint glass. Nice. Should have had it out of that. Yeah.
Well, speaking of brown, because again, we can just keep talking, but everyone listening is like, when are we going to move on with all of this? If for those that aren't aware, our city this month is Bozeman, Montana.
And Bozeman, Montana, yeah.
One of the really cool things about Bozeman is it's nicknamed Bozone. Apparently, nobody knows why. We're going to have to ask our expert here in a few minutes as well.
Good thing we got someone, who can really come from the source and
who,
tell us.
Yeah,
all
who can tell us out. But with Bozeman and with the Bozone, we, of course, have the Bozone Amber Ale. And I know you were drinking a brown ale for St. Patrick's Day, but we're going to have an Amber Ale tonight.
Ooh, that's nice.
Crack that open. This is... Yeah. One of their first ones, actually.
And it's the Bozone.
The Bozone Select Amber. And
very nice how you casually introduced that into the conversation. I know. They call it the Bozone, which just happens to be the name of our first beer.
First beer? There you go. Almost like I know what a segue is. Also, I do, with Bozeman Brewing Company, they have their main slogan, which is drink till empty, as in drink until Montana, but drink till you're empty.
That's nice. I like it. It's got a lot of levels there.
Something
to chew over while you're sipping your beer.
Yeah. For all of our subscribers, there's also a drink till you're empty sticker in the box, which is always fun. So with that, cheers, everyone. I got to do the
cheers.
There you go.
Yes.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that is very nice. It's funny. You mentioned that was a good segue from brown. Not all ambers are on the brown spectrum, but this one feels like it kind of is.
Yeah. Yeah. Amber. I feel like amber ales have a very wide spectrum where,
True.
They do have a little bit of nuttiness. I've brewed amber ales and they're like almost as dark, if not darker, than some brown ales.
Red ales are technically amber ales too, right?
They're in that area. Yeah. Obviously there is a crossover. There's a crossover in everything, right?
Well, right. It's always funny. Like when I hear someone say I like lagers, I'm like, that's a pretty broad spectrum.
Yeah.
We know generally what people mean when they're talking about lagers, but since there's two categories of beers, they're all lagers and ales. So lager, you could be talking about all sorts of things.
I know one of the bars I work at, we have the Brooklyn Lager and the Brooklyn Pilsner, and people are like, I want a lager. I'm like, lager or Pilsner? That's actually both of them. But they mean...
Yeah, it's like walking into Single Cut and say, I'll have the IPA.
Good luck with that.
Because at any good time, they have like seven of them there.
Exactly. Which, this beer, though...
I'm only exaggerating slightly.
I don't think you're exact. Yeah, no.
Okay, maybe I'm not. Well, I mean, I'm talking about on one occasion. They definitely always have at least three.
Yes. Say now, other half or other breweries, you're going to have that same issue as well.
Yeah.
But We're not in New York. We're in
That's
Bozeman.
right. And I don't know even how many people who are listening are in New York or have been to New York, but you know, come visit us.
Come visit us. Yeah, we'll
We're
get you
just
a
giving you some
drink.
advice. We'll get to Bozeman in a
Yeah,
second.
of course, of course. We
But we're
always
in New
get to
York.
Bozeman. Yeah, we are. Cool thing about Bozeman is it's pretty far from me, and from you as well. So
Yes.
I the cool thing is like I actually have some friends from Bozeman, and before I even knew about the brewing scene, I knew about just, a little small town. And even though it's like been around, Bozeman's been around since the 1800s, but the brewing scene is fairly new within the past 20 years or so. And it really just popping up even within like most areas of the country within the past like 10, 15 years. There's been breweries in Bozeman since the 1800s, which, they have some of the freshest water. They're really close to Yellowstone, good elevation. Apparently, there's also a tie to New York, but not is that they would actually, when they first started brewing, they would get their grain from Manhattan, but not Manhattan.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Exactly. Not Manhattan,
Because
New York.
to get it from here, at least from my doorstep, because you said it's a long way, and I immediately thought, how long? It's 2,164 miles from where we are. Take 33 hours to drive there, and 33 days to walk there. And 9 days to bike there.
Okay, well, that's not that bad. That's a pretty
No.
good. I feel like that's like biking nonstop, which of course you're gonna
It's a
have to
lot of
sleep.
biking, yeah.
Yes, a lot of biking. Yeah, no, I don't think I wanna do that. And at one point, Google Maps, I think they took the feature away. If there were any waterways, it would have swimming in there as well. So,
Oh,
but
yeah,
I
I don't
think it's
see
just
that on
now
here, yeah.
walking now. Because I think now there's enough bridges and routes that they can just do walking and not swimming. But Bozeman has, they have some water, obviously, but I think it's mostly going to be walking.
Seems, yeah.
Which some of the other breweries that we have in the box are mountains walking,
Yes.
which got some great beers there, New Hokkaido as well. So if anyone that's been drinking the box, drinking the beer out of the box, don't drink the box. Always let us know in the chats, on the comments, anywhere, which beers you're liking, what your favorite ones are, if you've tried any of them before, because I know you have. I know a lot of our steady listeners waiting 3 weeks to drink a beer or waiting till the third Tuesday. It's hard. It's hard to wait that long.
Yeah, I just got mine yesterday, so I didn't have quite as much temptation there.
There you go. Yeah, well, and with I know there's some storms and everything, so some boxes got there right in time for this week as well. But are you liking this beer, Glenn?
I really like it a lot. It's got a really nice, you're like you said, it has that nuttiness, that maltiness. If I closed my eyes, I would probably think it was a brown. Just it's so much similar because I mean, full disclosure, I was just drinking one of those Brooklyn Browns about an hour ago,
Oh,
and it's
nice.
really, really similar flavor profile. And
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm gonna drink this too fast, but that's okay.
Yes. Good
That's
thing we
okay.
have our whole box of beers in case, as you said, in case we want to drink the box. And honestly, I really like that as a shorthand for drinking all the beers in the box, just drink in the box.
Just drink the
We're here to drink the
box.
box. Yeah, I like that.
I feel like we need to start giving people straws then, and they can just go from beer to beer and straight out of the box. Just drink the
I think we need
box.
bumper stickers that say drink the box.
Drink the box. CBDBC, drink the box. We have a
We're
slogan.
not only not outside the box, we're so in the box, we're drinking the whole box.
We are. So once Chad and Tom listen to this, we're going to do bumper stickers.
Absolutely.
There you go for drink the box.
CBTBC, drink the box.
Drink the box. Now I need a t-shirt with that too. Okay. We get on tangents.
I will say just to acknowledge the chat says RJ is always so good at participating. RJ has tried the Black IPA as well as the both of the Mountain Walking beers.
Nice.
Yeah, they're both really
Which,
good. I'm looking forward to those myself. I may even
yeah.
have one this evening.
And it's always cool to like see, all of these styles as I'm like trying to figure out which beers to get from all these different cities. Sometimes I get a lot of almost too many choices, which is a good problem. But, you don't really see like a black IPA too often. Not like it can't. You might see it on draft somewhere here and there. But as soon as I saw that one, I was like, this one has to come in the box because you're getting that chocolatey, that richness, and then the bitterness. It's just, for me, it's a style that kind of blends both worlds, which I really enjoy. Kind of as
I'm
I
a
like to
fan. I'm a
as I
fan.
like yeah as I like to tell people, you can't just drink beer by looking at it, but you gotta need the aromas, the flavor, and sometimes it throws you off a little bit, and sometimes you need that. You don't just need just a classic beer. You want something that mixes it up and makes all the wires cross.
Well, it has that that hop profile, but the chocolatey things and all those things sort of mellow it a little bit. You definitely like, yeah, I see why this has IPA in its DNA, but it's also little softer.
A little softer. Yeah. It's like a, it'd be like a, what would that be? I want to say like a rye sourdough almost, but like a dark, like a cho or a chocolate rye beer or
Okay,
bread,
sure.
like a chocolate rye bread. So you get like that slight sharpness, but then you get the sweetness with it as well. I don't think they do chocolate rye beers, but I've had chocolate rye loaves. So
I think I might have had a chocolate rye beer. And see, anyone who's watching this on YouTube or in the webinar right now is going to see my head keep doing it. And that's because I'm Googling things. Every few things I get inspired, I'm like, I know there's something about that, so now I have to look that up. Because I had a black IPA somewhere recently, and I was like, okay, where was that? What kind was that? So anyway, I'm sorry. I'm back in the moment again.
oh no, we're never in the moment when it comes to us drinking.
Yeah.
Glenn, have you ever been to Bozeman?
I don't think I've been to Montana at all. I've been to a few of the surrounding states. I've been to, I think, both Dakotas,
Okay.
been to Wyoming, been to Idaho. That was the first time, it was about 4 years ago. But I'm not absolutely certain because we went on a lot of like road trips all over when I was a kid, but I don't think Montana was on the list. And I say this every time I'm on here. In fact, I think the next time you book me for one of these, I'm just going to go to that city and record it from there, just so I can stop saying, now I have to go visit this place because this beer is so wonderful.
Yeah, no, that's one of the big problems about this, which is a good problem, is that
Yes. It
we.
is not a bug, it is a feature.
There you go. There it is. Now you just have to
And
travel more.
but I didn't let you finish your sentence there. Yes, but
No,
yeah.
yeah. Have you been to Yellowstone? Because Yellowstone is right there near Bozeman as well.
Ooh, that is a very good question. I feel like I must have gone there as a very small child, because my mother used to always talk about it. She was a waitress at Yellowstone when she was in college,
Okay.
and
Yeah.
I don't remember much more of that story, because and I can't, unfortunately, she's no longer with us, so I can't ask her about it. But I do remember specifically her talking about it was some kind of like summer college gig she got just being a waitress at Yellowstone.
Well, there you go. So that's, but Yellowstone is so big. I always
It
forget
is.
how
It
many
is.
states like it actually touches.
Well,
But
is this particular brewery the one that, or is it, I know one of these ones that's actually located at Four Corners?
it is one of the breweries.
Okay.
We're gonna
Well,
find out.
when we get our guest, we'll find
We're
out,
gonna
because
get
it
our
was
guest.
one of the two. So I have a feeling it's Bunkhouse, but we'll be finding that out very shortly.
We will find out. And we'll find out here in just a couple minutes. I do love that Jonathan, not me, I'm not referring to myself in third person, but our faithful listener, watcher, he already had four of the beers. It just doesn't remember which ones, which I always find that as a good problem. When you just drink them, and that just means it's a great night. It's a very, very good night. But so far everyone is loving all the beers from Bozeman. And I think with that, even though I'm getting very close to the end of this beer, we might as well just bring Andy on from Bunkhouse
I think
and
that's a good
answer
idea.
some of these questions that we have. Andy, come on over. We got to figure out, this four corners issue. I think we just have a lot of questions, because not being in Bozeman, but enjoying the beer. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Of course. And so for those that don't know, this is Andy from Bunkhouse Brewing. And obviously we are going to have a beer from Bunkhouse. We do have the Bramble Cherry Sour. Obviously, if you haven't gotten into the Hazy IPA, which I know is always a crowd favorite in our boxes, we've got those. So Andy, tell us a little bit about Bunkhouse, because you guys are kind of one of the semi-newer, middle-of-the-road, because obviously Bozeman Brewing Company has been around since 2001, kind of starting that game, but you guys have still been around since 2015. So what started you guys into Bozeman, as well as, why Bozeman as well?
Absolutely. You did ask a lot of questions right there.
It's a habit.
I'll try to hit some of them. Yep, we've been around since 2015. We're actually the third oldest brewery in Bozeman. We've had some come and go that were maybe predated us. Bozeman, of course, they are the longstanding brewery. A bunch of really excellent folks working there. Todd and Dan and Ryan, just super, super, super good people. And always willing to help out and kind of a community process. So our beer scene here is, I mean, it's relative to our size, but it's really good. And so I'm just kind of glad to be included in the box and be here with you today. So I can't answer some of the questions that you were asking. We did start in 2015. I'm an Air Force veteran. We started what would become the smallest brewery in Bozeman back in 2015. And we stayed that way until about 2021 when we expanded out to Four Corners. So there's your Four Corners answer. We just recently actually sold our original location to a new brewery. He brewed for us a couple of times. Our head brewer was on paternity leave, and so that started the conversation. And one of the breweries here in town that did close down, unfortunately, that was the head brewer from there, and it was just a really great fit. And so we're super excited. The name of the new one is Prey Brewing. Certainly throw a plug in for them if you ever come to Bozeman, just because, again, great. Great people, and we're hoping, obviously, the best. They just opened literally last Thursday, so I think he's like 4 days in, 5 days in, so I'm sure he's having a great time. So anyway, just to clarify, Four Corners actually doesn't refer to like the four corners of the states or anything. It's just an intersection where for years and years there was kind of a favorite bar, if you will. And for whatever reason, it is one of the busiest intersections in all of Montana. And even though we're part of Bozeman, we kind of consider ourselves separate just a little bit. And that, that has to do a little bit with how far out of town we are, but also just those highways that lead to Yellowstone actually kind of. If you're creative, both directions lead to Yellowstone in one way or the other. So Montana hosts two of the four entrances to Yellowstone Park. And then the primary one being the West Yellowstone entrance is right there. You just keep going down the highway from where we're at. And so we do see a lot of tourists come through, which is fantastic. Obviously, Bozeman's the busiest. We're the busiest airport in the state, and we see the most tourists in the state. So there's probably somebody out there that is either watching right now or will watch in the future. We're right there as you're going to Yellowstone, so don't forget to stop.
Absolutely. Now, especially now we have, within this box, we have four more reasons to stop in Bozeman since we got this box.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, five if four. We also count the new plug, the new brewery.
Okay, there you go. Five, yes.
There you go.
Four Corners plus one.
That's right. We do have a lot of breweries here. I think it, oftentimes people think of it as the Bozeman Valley, which includes kind of sort of Livingston, depending on how generous you are, but also Belgrade and Bozeman. Obviously, Four Corners is part of Bozeman. At one point, I think we were up to 13. We might be down to 12 now. I haven't counted recently. So there's an awful lot of breweries for as small as we are, but we keep growing every day. So I guess that means there's plenty of places to drink.
Of course. And 13, even 13 breweries, because Bozeman's only, what, 19 square miles, roughly? Obviously, if we're being more generous, then we're getting out of there. But say, even if it's like 20-something square miles, that's still a lot of – that's literally like a brewery almost every mile, which is really impressive, especially like coming from New York, like a brewery every mile is not, doesn't really mean much because, you know, there's – we have 45 breweries in the five boroughs, but I can walk to half of them or take the train, you know. But in places like Bozeman, where you're driving everywhere, you're probably not walking from brewery to brewery, probably frowned upon, or pretty far, but still having them that close to each other, that's a good amount of breweries, especially for, you know, if you think of, because you're so close to Yellowstone, because you guys are known more for, you know, nature and skiing and mountains and everything, that you still have this amazing beer scene that is kind of in the middle of, literally in the middle of like the mountains, in the middle of nowhere. No offense, but it's really, really cool that it is that big of a scene that is being recognized across the country. When you got nature, mountains, and everything else, and why not have a beer, a really nice beer, when you're going fly fishing or hiking, or as long as you pick up your trash, I have to say that, recycle properly. But yeah, like, you know, enjoy camping and have a nice beer. You don't, why not? I feel like that's just a natural order of things. In my opinion, I don't know. Maybe I'm a one-off on that one.
This is kind of interesting. I'm looking at this one, and Montana has the highest. This is a few years old, but I mean, it's still pretty close to right. Montana has the highest amount of breweries per capita amongst any of its neighbors.
That's true. Actually, yes, we I think maybe have the highest beer consumption, you know, if you go by gallons or whatever, per the population of any state. So
this is a few years old. Vermont and Maine are slightly ahead of you.
All right. Well,
like I said, 'cause they have much smaller populations, but considering the huge population, you're way ahead of even California and Oregon and Washington. Yeah. 'Cause they're all significantly under 10 per capita, but 12.4 per capita. So that's pretty impressive.
And Glenn, does that include consumption, or is that just the breweries per capita?
Because this is breweries per capita. Yes.
All right. So then, Andy, because we are not going to cross check it, I will take your word that you guys drink way more beer than everyone else per capita. I don't know if that's something to brag about.
That exactly. But yeah, we do enjoy a beer here.
I mean. Yeah, and I know that you I'm going to crack open this Bramble Cherry Sour because it's been sitting there. I've been staring at it too long. I know, really choice. But I know that go ahead, Glenn.
I say I'm going to open. Unfortunately, so this is going to be another reason to go to Bozeman. I guess the City Brew Tours is Beer Club is so popular this month, they seem to have run out of bunkhouse. So I didn't get any bunkhouse, so that means that's another reason for me to go there. But since we're only doing this once a month and we're trying to tell people about all these things, I figured I'd go for the things one that's closest to my wheelhouse. So I'm gonna have the Mountains Walking Bear Went Out Porter. I know RJ already said that's a really nice one, so I'm looking forward to it. And I look forward to someday visiting Bozeman so I can get all the bunkhouse and get caught up with the rest of you.
Well, I hope you do. Just know that there's no vacancy.
Okay.
I mean, you're welcome to come, but then you have to leave.
All right. Fair enough.
Luckily, there's a little bit of camping, you know, just a few miles away. There you go.
Miles away. You're welcome to go there. Yeah. So when you, you know, when you were first talking about Bozone, the locals have sort of changed it. And now we refer to Bozeman as Bozangeles.
Oh, nice.
So,
which
so you know, it's not necessarily a good thing. We're growing pretty fast here. And it does obviously cause some heartburn with those of us that have been here for a little while.
Yeah.
But well, that's we love them all.
Yeah, we call that growing pains, right? Is that
exactly. We're right there in the middle of it. So all good.
Yeah. I do want to say as I'm drinking this, so this Bramble Cherry Sour, it is delicious, Andy. It is just lovely, sweet. What was your inspiration for it? Was it like trying to recreate a pie or just like, I just want a sour beer?
You know, so our brewery really prides itself on trying not to repeat anything. When we were little, when we were the smallest brewery, we had three flagships and we had eight taps and three flagships. And so the other five rotated. Today we have 12 taps that can expand up to 24. And we still kind of have that same philosophy of let's rotate beers through and let's try to, I guess, not really convince as much as educate people that this is a style you wouldn't try, but you've come to trust us over the years that you've been coming here. And so you're going to try it one time. And it might be something that you actually realize that you really love. And it might be something that expands your palate and expands your mind a little bit, but it isn't necessarily something you're going to go back to, which is totally fine. And we did decide that we would always have a sour on tap. This, you know, it was, we were, our first brewery was very close to a college campus and people were asking us for it. And so we started making kettle sours and we just changed it every time. We called it Kaleidoscope. And every time we brought it out, it was absolutely new. Never repeated a Kaleidoscope beer. And we started making this Bramble Cherry Sour and it was far and away the most popular sour we had ever made. And it went off tap and it was actually our bartenders that begged us to bring it back. And I got to be honest, I was reluctant. My theory is always, yes, that was a great beer. Or I really loved it, but we can make another really great beer that I'm going to love. And so why would I not have that opportunity to try that? And so by tying up a tap line, it it limits that opportunity, right, to do new things. And so we always said no, but when we moved into the big space where we had more tap lines, we decided that we'd bring Bramble Cherry back because it was such a popular beer. And it's been there kind of ever since. So today we still usually have actually two sours on tap. We keep Bramble Cherry Sour, and then we usually have a second sour that is completely new and different and off the wall, something that we can experiment with and see not only what we like, but what the, you know, the rest of the community likes as well. So Bramble Cherry kind of came back, if you will, by popular demand, and it's been very well received. And so today we actually kind of consider that a flagship, even though it came much later than our originals, and we do keep it all the time.
Nice.
That's great.
And so I always like to ask this, especially if a beer kind of like goes away and then comes back. Is this version, especially if you are in like really enjoy like trying to update and try new things, is this version of Bramble Cherry that we are having, how different is it from the original batch? If you want to say, you don't have to answer that question.
Actually, it might be the absolute closest. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that is a really good question, Jonathan. I always find it interesting because the thing is that they do evolve. A lot of places they evolve, but you were saying.
Yeah, so sorry. Barking dogs. Bramble Cherry Sour actually has never ever changed.
Oh, no.
I can't say that about our other flagships. Some of our other flagships, of course, we tweaked them here and there based on what was either available or what we perceived our community wanted, and they have even my most favorites, which aren't in the box. They didn't, they even changed just a little bit here and there. But Bramble Cherry Sour has never changed. It's this exact same recipe ratio of fruit that we started with. And I don't know. I don't think we've ever had a good reason to change it, to be honest with you.
I mean, if it's not broke, wait, I'm a beer and a half in. So if it's not broke, don't fix it. Is that the right phrase? Did I get that right?
I think you did.
Yeah. I don't use that phrase very often, but I grew up with that phrase. So I'm like, wait, I don't remember. I think that's awesome that this one is the same. So, we don't, all of our listeners, subscribers, everyone, they don't have to have FOMO. They're having the original Bramble Cherry.
I'm the only one with FOMO here.
You're the only one. It is. So for you, Glenn, it is not good. You're not missing anything. But Andy, this is an amazing beer.
I'm booking my flight to Bozeman right now so I can try the Bramble Cherry straight from the source.
Oh,
yeah, as you should.
I'm taking a long road trip. I just need to get my car tuned up.
9-day biking, as we discussed.
There you go. Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
I need to get that tuned up too. I got both. I got a car. I got a bike.
Yeah. It switch. Well, you can't switch off while you're doing that. You gotta.
No. You need a partner for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So Andy, with since been around 2015, obviously you have the sour that started and then went back. How many different beers have you guys done? If you are always trying to, with the exception of your flagships, from 2015 to 9 years later, how many styles have you guys or beers have you guys gone through since you are always trying to do new things? Do you know this answer?
I don't even have a guess. I really don't. That's not something, I mean, I know it's weird to say this, but we don't pride ourselves on the fact that we made something different. And so we don't keep track, but we do pride ourselves on the fact that people trust what we make and that can hopefully expand their palates. I know just before the show, we talked a little bit about this guy. This is our Sabino Red. I hope you guys can see that. Just started putting it in cans. It's one of the flagships. It also actually has changed only a tiny bit. And that was more of a ingredient sourcing thing than us trying to change the beer. But anyway, the point is that this particular beer, just like the cherry sour, they're very close to the originals, but at the same time, we do have to adapt and overcome there. I kind of digressed and went down a path that diverged from where we were going, mostly because I saw RJ ask a question, which completely caught me off guard. My background.
You can address that if you want to.
Thanks. So we're just going to follow this rabbit trail way further. I hope that's
love it. No, this is what we're here for. I'm just going to enjoy a beer and enjoy the show.
I am German by, I don't know, descendant. What do you call that? Anyway, but I'm also a veteran. I lived 3 years in a place called Ramstein, and I fell in love with the beer in Germany. I'd been there several times before. And then, kind of solidified living there. And that actually spurred me when I got back to the States to learn how to brew and to make beers and to try to emulate a lot of those very German styles. And so you'll find those beers that do rotate. A lot of them we are trying to figure out all of the German techniques. We actually have a completely German system from Bearplan, and we're trying to recreate that in kind of a very traditional sense, but like obviously over here. So yes, I am an Air Force veteran. The Air Force brought me to Bozeman, and that was, gosh, back in 2010. And this is where we've called home ever since. And so there is that, I guess, tie-in, if you will. Anyway, we do a lot of German style beers because those are honestly my favorite. And maybe I would expand that to say European style beers are our favorite. And with our system, a lot of people have a three vessel system or something like that, but we have a five vessel system, so we can cook down our own malts and cook down our own grains and cereals and stuff. We can do deconcoction mashes. We use a high pressure boiler, which is completely unheard of and completely blew the minds of all of the city code people. I probably shouldn't say that out loud. Anyway, it's a fabulous system, and it lets us do just a really authentic German style beer, which was what we kind of aimed for, if you will, in the very beginning. So anyway, the other thing that I got to comment on, and I think it's kind of a segue, not really. There's a town here in Montana called Manhattan. It's about, let's say 20 miles down the road. And they had the largest malt house this side of the Mississippi at one time.
Wow. Wow.
So I actually got involved in beer as part of a malt project to try to bring back craft malting to this area, because that is what we do, right? Montana's number one agricultural export is malted barley. We felt like we shouldn't be shipping it to, I don't know, Minneapolis to get it malted, to get it shipped back to our brewers. And we really wanted to create something that was better, if you will, or at least more efficient. And I'll be honest with you, that project did not materialize. Today, there is a company out there called Montana Craft Malt. I like to think I had something to do with that. And that push through Montana State to try to push for that craft malt presence. But anyway, you were talking about Manhattan, Kansas, and I just wanted to make sure you weren't confused. Maybe all your malt was coming from Montana after all.
Possibly so. Yeah, I apologize for assuming he meant Kansas when he said Manhattan, because that's the only Manhattan outside of New York that I've heard of. So this is educational. So there's a Manhattan, Montana. I am curious, were you talking about how exporting the malt? One of the reasons we have this club is so people can get stuff they can't get where they live. However, what is your distribution? I really the only Montana beer that I've seen here in on the East Coast is Mountains Walking, and even that's not very much of it. So are you pretty much all local, or is more West Coast, or how is that?
No, we personally are like 1,000% local. It surprised me that you said you found Mountains Walking outside of this area. I know they do have
only like one or two beers. Yeah.
The beer from Montana that most people know is called Moose Drool, which is out of Big Sky, which is a Missoula beer. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah,
it is. You know, it's great beer.
I saw that when I was just in California. I saw that when I was there. Yeah. Have another one. But yeah,
right. Yeah, and I mean that is actually the brewery, as far as I know, the brewery that has the largest geographical reach from Montana. Most of our stuff is obviously, for all of us, is sold hyper local. And so we do not distribute anything outside of, gosh, I mean, 8 miles from the brewery, I think, is as far as we go. And I'll be honest, we just started doing that. We've been predominantly a brewery where you have to come in and buy it from us. But, you know, it's a bigger brewery. It's a bigger system. And it's been really well received. So we're excited about some of the new partnerships that we have and the ability to distribute more and further. The maximum we're even aiming for is to distribute statewide.
Okay.
Nice. I'm going to give you one of those shameless plugs that you probably shouldn't do. But this particular beer, and we talked about this a little bit in terms of Montana and what you like to do here, right? So everybody thinks skiing is the big draw, and that is not true. Our tourists are about 3 to 1 fly fishermen over skiers.
Yep.
We have the best fly fishing sometimes we're number 2 in the world, but we're usually number 1. And so there's a great company here that at least began very super local. I don't know if I can do this. Sims, right? So Sims Fishing, for all the fishers out there, this is actually their logo. Theirs is orange, solid orange. But this is a collaboration beer that we do with them. We bring it out every summer, or at least this will be the second summer now that we're big enough to do it. And this is that's Seam Seeker, four-layer lager is a German Helles. The four-layer refers to Sims and their products. It doesn't refer to a beer, which is maybe a little odd. But anyway, we'll be launching that beer. We're thinking probably in late May, early June again this year. And that one we're in discussions with people to distribute it statewide. But the rest of our beer, we keep it real close by so that we can control the quality and a little bit of the quantity as well.
That makes sense.
That's awesome. And when you guys started, were you guys a draft only brewery or?
Yes.
Because I know you guys only can so much and we were lucky enough to get these cans. How many years were you guys draft only?
We didn't. We really didn't do any distributing until we started the new brewery in 2021. And then after that, we did begin to branch out. And honestly, it's been within the last 2 months that we've kind of made a concerted push to get our beers into convenience stores and grocery stores. So we've had a pretty well-received following of those efforts. And, maybe a shout out to Roast Hours. They were the first people that picked us up. And literally for a very long time, I would say 2018 on, we used to put crowlers on the shelf at Roast Hours. So 32-ounce cans on the shelf at Roast Hours. And that was literally our only distribution. And, it was fun because every week it was something different. There was just a generic label. We wrote the name on the label and we stuck it on the shelf. And at one point we were actually the fourth highest seller at Roast Hours, which they move a lot of beer. But for a little brewery like us that was using a 3.5 barrel system, that was kind of an amazing feat. So today we actually only for Roast Hours continue to put crowlers on the shelf for them because they just love them. But they also are the first people to adopt our product. Like I said, this Sabino Red, we actually put it in cans because their beer manager begged us to do it. And we were like, well, if you're asking, there must be a market for it. So we're real early in. We just delivered last week. Who knows how that's going to play out. So we're still very small scale compared to say Bozone or Mountains Walking. We really are a very, very small brewery that really wants people to come in and get to know us, even if they're, whether you're passing through or you're local, we want you to come in and get to know us and to have a really great experience. And if we pour you a beer that you don't love, that's not a problem, because I do, and I'll drink it and I'll get you something that you do. Right. We don't want anybody to ever leave and be like, oh, that was okay. That just doesn't work for us.
No, oh, that's
another question in the chat. RJ wants to know, who does your can art? He loves your can art.
That's always a popular question.
I completely appreciate that, because we love our can art. And I'm sure, as you guys know, there's kind of two pretty major themes with cans today that you can kind of go minimalist, sleek, modern, and you can kind of look good in that sense, right? And this is just me, you know, talking. I have no factual data to back anything up that I'm about to say. Or you can go the other way and you can be highly illustrative and you can attempt to capture the people's imagination through what you put on your can. Both are really great, I would say, marketing techniques, if you will. But we're more interested in, like I say, in your experience. And that's why we went with the very highly illustrated. And so shout out to his name is Michael Rauch. He does our illustrations for us. We give him basically nothing to work with at all. And then he creates something that's absolutely amazing. And yeah, you can absolutely search him, Micah Rauch. He does some really incredible stuff. But he has been just, he's been fantastic. We made friends with him when he lived here in Bozeman through another friend, our graphic designer. So the person who actually, you know, makes us legal, if you will, to, you know, be a label. She was good friends with him. Her name is Lindley Hart. And again, really, really just a fantastic combination working together. They worked together at Museum of the Rockies here in Bozeman. Not that anybody probably cares, but Museum of the Rockies has one of the largest dinosaur collections, right? The T-Rex. Yeah, cool. They got a huge T-Rex sitting outside. So anyway, and enough about that. But yeah, these two, they worked together at Museum of the Rockies. We contracted with them to do all of our, you know, all of our work. And anyway, we just have been loving it. We've added, Lindley does a fabulous, fabulous job of adding depth and character to all of our labels. If you kind of tilt them a little bit, you'll see that parts of them are shiny, parts of them are not shiny, all that sort of stuff, using just some of the techniques and tricks, if you will, to really make stuff stand out and be exciting. So I'll be honest, this label, which is probably not doing justice to it, right? Everything's shiny. This one might be my favorite. The Seam Seeker one, this guy, that was a collaboration directly with Sims, that we used one of their artists to come up with the original graphic. And Micah made it Bunkhouse, and Lindley made it even more so. So they've done a really fabulous job. We're trying to find more ways to get those two recognition as we go along, because they're really just doing a great job.
That's awesome. And can art is very important. Like, obviously you can do minimalist, you can do like the graphic. And I know usually I try to go by the style, but sometimes I'm like, oh, that one grabs my eye, so I might as well drink yes. that one.
Well, and then you have so much to choose from, sometimes you just have to go with your gut, and that influences your gut.
Yeah. And that's even the label for the Bramble Cherry is why I even asked why, if it was like pie inspired, because it had the oven with the pies flying out, and then it's like the bowl. There's a lot going on, which is a lot of fun. And it does taste like jam and pie, and like it gets all of that. And sometimes that is the power of suggestion, right? So like I see pie, I taste berries. I'm like, oh, it's pie. Doesn't mean it actually tastes like pie, but it does taste like, and I know a few of our other listeners, they're like jam and berries, and it does taste like jam as well. But yeah, no, these labels are great. I do always, I am always curious because Bozeman is such a small community, and I grew up in a very small town in Indiana, and everyone basically knew everybody. So I understand kind of the small living in those 19, 20 square miles. But even though Manhattan, Montana had, you know, has those malts, do you guys ever do any beers that are 100% Montana ingredients, or does Montana? I know hops are a difficult thing for certain areas, especially Montana. Do you guys have hop fields, or is it all just kind of we do with what we can?
Yeah, that's a great question. Bozeman does struggle in terms of cold, just yeah. So you guys are aware. But the other side of the state, or sorry, the western side of the state does a little bit better, and there are some hop fields over there. Bozeman has one hop field. And so we do two things. The first, like when it's wet hop season, we'll do a completely, like a totally Montana beer. So there is a small, it's not the one I referred to earlier, but there is a Gallatin Valley malt. They are a small craft malt house, and we try to use their malt in everything that we do. But I know we fall short on that. But for the wet hop, we exclusively use their malt. We use Crooked Yard Hops, which is also here in Bozeman, and we produce a wet hop beer. And that's kind of the scale and scope that we're able to do. After that, the other kind of thing that we try to do is we do what we call a Franconian beer, and we've named it Gallatonian, right? You know, like Franconian. It's an obscure style that I don't think most people really think about. And right now we have the second one on tap. It's a smoked rye lager. And as we know, you know, Franconian kind of means from the land, right? And so we source everything that we can locally for that particular beer. And if we can't source it locally and we can't make it, you know, like for the smoked portion of the smoked rye lager, we, you know, we have to venture outside of Montana. But the whole goal with that kind of, and it doesn't repeat a lot. Like I say, we only do that style about once to twice a year. It really is meant to be a hyper local, like hyper kind of farm to table type of beer. We do just have a couple of limits, as you know, you guys are clearly aware, in terms of what we can source and what we can't. And so, like I say, if we can't make it and we can't get it here, then we're sort of stuck buying it from somewhere else. And maybe unfortunate, but let's be honest, we're a state of a million people. We're kind of a small market.
Yeah, no, and that's very similar to here in New York. We have the farmhouse breweries, and they have to use New York State ingredients, but every once in a while, our blueberries aren't great. We have to go to Jersey. Like, it's literally right next door, but still, it doesn't count. Yeah. So it does happen. And that's, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to make a beer and you're like, I'm going to do this. And even if you do all the planning, nature happens. And sometimes crops or ingredients just don't come together like we had hoped. Especially if you are starting to brew larger amounts and you have that schedule going of, you know, if you are planning a beer, maybe 6 months out, by the time you get there, it is what it is. That, and yeah. And I guess, cause we are getting close, and I know it's late for us, early for you still. But what is the future of Bunkhouse? I know you've already touched on it. You guys are in this newer space, bigger brews, doing some of the more contracts, you know, canning like your red ale, doing this the Seam Seeker as well. Is there anything coming up or that you want to plug with Bunkhouse besides just trying to get into the rest of the state and just still making awesome beer?
You know, I don't think that, I mean, I kind of gave all the shameless plugs already. All I could really add to it is our goal, right? When we started, like I say, I got into it through the malt world and it didn't go where we wanted it to go. And that's just, I mean, that's part of life. And I'm glad that there's people that have kind of picked up that torch and carried on with it, which is just amazing. For us, just like I think so many people probably say, like, we want to be part of the community. And for us, that really hits home and it means a lot to us, because when we lived in Germany, we walked across the street to the local restaurant. I mean, I really think there was only 17 houses in the village I lived in. But we had a brewery that would, you know, was the meeting place. That is where, right, the roots of Bunkhouse come from in terms of what we're trying to recreate over here. We want you to walk to our brewery. Now, we're a little bit outside of town, I get that. But that's kind of the idea, right? Like, we love tourists. We love to showcase our product. We love for people to stop by and see us and get to know us and experience Bunkhouse. But at the end of the day, even the name reflects our end goal, which is, when you're done working for the night, where do you go? Right? In the old days, in the old West days, which a lot of our names, if you will, came, like Sabino Red, that came from a true Montana heritage. And when you were done working for the day, back in the frontier days, you went to the bunkhouse, right? Like, literally the bunkhouse, right? That, i.e. where you slept. But that's also, yes, where
that's the difference. You could have slept in those. You can't, as you said, you can't sleep in yours, but.
Well, that has happened, but we shouldn't talk about that.
No, all right. Yes.
So
off the air for that one. Yeah.
Off the air. Anyway, the whole point is that's where they ate and drank and played cards, yep. Right? And then they tuned up for the night. They just had the one room. And that's kind of what we're going for. Because of that experience that we had living in Germany and seeing what a community centered around a certain spot, which, of course, you know, it's Germany. It's probably going to be a brewery or something very similar. What that meant to all of the people that, you know, patronized it. And so we've always been about that. We continue to try to be that as much as we can, but we also recognize pretty clearly that you have to, in today's market, you have to be nimble and you have to adjust and you have to go a little bit with where the market forces you to go. And if for no other reason, I think a lot of our distribution, like I say, which is hyper local, is really not aimed at anything more than trying to get our beer in your hands so that you come to the brewery so that you can have that overall experience with us. And for us, that's the beginning and the end. And if, you know, if we're unable to do that, you know, I don't know that we're going to go anywhere else. So we continue to strive down that road of just trying to build that community, but also to make it more than a cliche, because it's become that just a little bit. And it's a good cliche, if you will. But we really do truly believe that that's what we're trying to do. And so, you know, you will see us continue to reach out and make partnerships with kind of people that maybe other people aren't. Right. That's, you know, Sims is literally the Sims manufacturing site here in Bozeman is less than a mile away. And we're constantly asking them, you know, hey, you want to come over? You want to have a party? You want to do something good for your employees? You know, let's do it at our place. So Whether it's that or, you know, I know we've got a big event on Thursday for breast cancer awareness and the whole Pack the Place in Pink. Those are those events and people and ideas that we really want to, I guess, both embrace, but like we want to build that relationship and support one another, because that's what our community is going through and that's what they're experiencing. And even, sorry, I guess this is one more shameless plug, like even Seam Seeker, the whole, you know, the whole Sims beer, we actually give the proceeds to a local nonprofit called Veterans in Quiet Waters. And it's just such an amazing benefit for veterans to learn to fly fish, to maybe have a place where they have counselors or people that you can talk to that have kind of walked before you. And we have lots of those here in Bozeman. The other one we support a lot is Big Sky Bravery. Those guys are amazing. They do a lot of great things for our special forces guys. They're actually one of the few veteran organizations that targets veterans that are still active duty. And so like any chance we have to do something that can maybe span that gap or bridge those communities and bring us together, that's where you're going to find Bunkhouse. And, you know, I think that's where you're going to find us more and more in the future as we continue to try to grow and expand, but also try to stay very true to our roots of, we want to be pretty hyper-local. We want to be part of your everyday conversation.
And that's something that comes up over and over again within the craft beer scene about how it just feels like there's so little competition and so much of a spirit of community that we're all like just willing here to bump each other up. I do want to say something. I think it's incredible what you're talking about, how you're not going to ignore the trends, but also the other theme before where you're talking about, you're always trying to have a lot of creative ideas. And I think these two beers you gave us encompass that perfectly. Hazy IPAs are huge, but I'm sure you brought your own touch to the Forklift Rodeo. And the Bramble Cherry Sour is one that, even though sours is, there's a trend, this seems like a very unique one, and someone that, and one that came out of your creativity, and yet it was so popular you had to put it in the regular rotation. I think that's all these things you said, is like so much of these two beers speak to that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm actually glad that I'm not the only person running around that sees that. Because sometimes I think I'm crazy.
No, and I think everything that you're saying, because Glenn, you spoke on exactly what I was thinking as well, of like the brewing industry is so collaborative, and like it's
the craft brew industry is
craft brew industry, not the beer,
but the macros.
No, those guys.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
We are explicit. It's fine.
Let our editor know we're going to make explicit this time.
Yeah, I'll let him know. He knows what's going on. But also, from having grown up in a small town as well, small communities are also, you have to be collaborative. You have to be, because literally everybody knows everybody. And so combining that craft beer industry and that small town spirit, like combining that together, you guys are creating, I can't help but think of Cheers. Of like, you know, everybody knows your name. Of like, you want that. You want that to be the corporate world calls it the third place, which is like you have home, you have work, and you have your third place. But it's your Cheers. It's the place that everyone knows you. You come and you guys are making fantastic beers. I can attest this firsthand, and everyone listening as well. But also, you guys are like not just following those trends and not just making beers people like, but you are listening to everyone, and you're also like, I like German beer, so I'm gonna make what I like and create that environment. So I think your love for community, for Bozeman, is what makes Bunkhouse Bunkhouse, which I'm super excited to be able to eventually come and visit you guys and meet you personally, but also over the past few months talking and interacting, like, I can see that from you, of that you love your beers, you love the community, and you're bringing them both together, which I think is, that's what we want. I mean, I always say this all the time and like brew tours and everything, but like beer brings people together. There's not many beverages outside of beer. Coffee, you have the lovers and haters, tea, same. If you like beer, you're coming together. And if you have a few too many, you're going to be friends by the end. So it's a win-win, really. But yeah, no, I think I'm just double checking here. But no, I thank you so much, Andy, for not only being here, not only providing this beer, but also for keeping, you know, the craft beer movement in Bozeman moving forward as well.
Thank you.
Don't check me.
Very kind of you.
I mean,
and I will say that our motto, if you will, is hashtag good friends, good beer. We're always, you know, we're going to provide the beer. It's, you know, you guys provide the friends. We're here for you.
Yeah. And I will do that as a shameless plug on your behalf. For anyone listening, go to Bozeman, go to Bunkhouse. Who knows what beer is going to be there, but there's going to be some amazing beer. Andy doesn't even know what beer is going to be there. But you're going to have amazing beer, amazing conversations. I don't want to end this podcast, but I have to, because people aren't going to listen to our podcast. We do have to end it. But also, I will just say also thank you to all the other breweries, to New Hokkaido, Mountains Walking, Bozeman
Brewing.
Yeah,
the porter's been great. As you can see, I'm done with it.
It's gone. All the breweries in Bozeman were great to work with. All, again, super collaborative. Very, very lovely people, and more importantly, lovely beer. But Andy, thank you so much. We'll see you when we all do a group trip down to Bozeman.
Yes.
I say, is it down or is it over,
Glenn? It's across.
It's cross over. Yeah, I'm really
once
bad.
Once you get 200,000 miles, there's ups, downs, sideways. We'll get there eventually.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, not once we bike 9 days, we're going to be there.
I mean, I was doing the math on that one, and that, like, if you were doing 100 miles a day, 9 days would only get you 900 miles. So that's over 200 miles a day on the bike. Oof. I think that thing was just saying if you didn't stop. And I don't think that's...
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I think it's a car road trip thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a car road trip. You know what? Because Bozeman also has one of the biggest airports, I think we're just gonna fly.
I don't know. I'm gonna like just I'm gonna draw a map between here and Bozeman and see where all the best brewery cities are between here and there, and just do like a and then make another alternative for a route back, just to do a big brewery road trip.
Big, just
yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say drunk driving road trip, but...
No, I'm saying drive to the place, have your beer there, spend the night there, go to the next place. Yeah. I have all sorts of versions of this brewing in my head all the time, no pun intended.
Yeah, we definitely got this. but with that, we do have to call today to a close. So, again, thank you, Bozeman, for being such a lovely city. Everyone that is listening, thank you so much for joining for another month. We do have another city, great city, coming up next month as usual. If you want to join more, obviously go to shop.citybrewtours.com. Get the box. You can still get this month. You can still get Bozeman. And you
drink the box.
Drink the box.
Drink the box.
Yeah, you know, City Brew Tours, drink the box. And with that, good night, everybody. And good day. All right. Thank you, guys.
Good night.